The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful day.
Aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Health and Beauty for Life show, coming live from Saratoga, California, alongside with Alexandra, my lovely co-host.
Welcome, everyone, to the Health and Beauty for Life show. Well, today we're going to be talking about osteoporosis. And I have to say that I was quite, you know, surprised and enlightened when I was preparing with Dr. Tang for this show. Not only did he bring up some valid points in the whole idea and thoughts of osteoporosis, but I really hope that today our listeners, Dr. Tang, will be as enlightened as I was. I feel that, you know, the traditional perspectives and what we see on the commercials is probably not enough, and we're starting a little late to address osteoporosis. I feel like we should have a strong campaign and campaign for stronger bones and for women in as early as our 30s. So I'm really looking forward to having this discussion with you and sharing all this information with our listeners.
Great. Thank you, Alexandra. I think osteoporosis is something that many women talk about. It's definitely a category where I think women feel like they're actually doing something that's good for them. And I think all women are afraid of getting fractures, and this is definitely a concern of women. One of the things that I wanted to bring this up is because, you know, the things that I'm seeing now are things that I was trained upon and made a lot of sense back then. But with the information that I'm going to share with you, it makes it such that I feel like it's not really the right way of doing things. And I think your listeners are going to be very enlightened about this. Now, one of the more common myths about osteoporosis, and just so that everyone understands, you know, osteoporosis is a disease of the bones. And when someone has osteoporosis, this is when the idea that the bone is very weak. And we define this in a certain way by doing some tests to measure this. But osteoporosis is basically the precursor of having weak bones, and that leads to fractures. So one of the I think the myths about osteoporosis is that this is a disease of elderly women, and this is actually oftentimes thought for young women that they don't need to worry about this until, let's say, they're at their mom's age, which is for some 60, 70, 80 years old. And like you said, Alexandra, this is actually a disease that starts to manifest itself in the 30s for a lot of women. So it is definitely important to start as soon as we can. Now, looking at the statistics, you know, osteoporosis as measured or accounted by the National Osteoporosis Foundation is believed to affect about 44 million Americans. This is definitely a huge portion of the American society. Now, it is thought that one in two women, and even men, one in four men, over the age of 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis. So this really kind of gives you the clinical impact of how many people are getting fractures. And I should say that oftentimes, you know, these fractures that occur do not even really consider the fact that they were at risk to begin with. I think a lot of patients who, let's say, fall down, they think, okay, well, I fell down. You know, who wouldn't break a bone, let's say? And so they go to the ER, whether that's through a cast or through surgery, depending on how severe their fracture, they get treated, and nothing is ever thought about whether the bones are healthy or not. And so they kind of go on throughout their life. Now, obviously, someone who's at risk is going to get subsequent fractures down the road. But these are what I would say could be prevented. And what I've learned is that people who have osteoporosis, let's say someone who is a little bit older, who develops a hip fracture, well, statistically, that person who develops a hip fracture from osteoporosis is 25% likely to die, actually, to die within the first year. That's a huge number, and so it's very scary. So if you have a hip fracture, a lot of times they get blood clots, they're immobilized, and they die from complications which were led to the hip fracture. So this is definitely, I think, alarming people in many ways, and this is why we should really care about osteoporosis. Now, when we hear about osteoporosis, I think a lot of women, they start to get concerned, and they start taking calcium. So the thought is that if you take enough calcium, then that would be enough to prevent bone loss. And someone who is a little bit older, who actually gets a test and says that they actually do have osteoporosis, they end up taking some medication. Now, it used to be a long time ago when hormones were in, but previously they would be on some hormones, estrogen, most likely, to strengthen the bones. Now, with the Women's Health Initiative back in 2002, a lot of the women were taking off hormones, and so without some of those hormones to protect the bone, many more women were getting hip fractures. So they were actually encouraging women to be off hormones and instead taking other forms of medications. And so this class of medication called bisphosphonates is a class of medication that has grown in popularity. And this is what I think Alexander was referring to, is that in the commercials, there are a lot of commercials these days that advertise different forms. Originally, it came out to be Foxamax, and so for you listeners, this may ring a bell. Foxamax is now a generic medication, but it was the first one to come out. Nowadays, they are having new medications such as Veniva, Actonel, Zometa. These are new medications that help to supposedly strengthen bone, and so they're advertised as, you know, this is the way. You take a pill. And, for instance, Veniva, it's once a month. All you need to do is once a month, and you'll have perfect, awesome, strong bones, and you don't have to worry about it. And this is actually not the case. And so I wanted to kind of dispel this myth, is that all you need to do is take one medication and take calcium, and you'll have strong bones, and you don't have to worry about hip fractures. However, what we're seeing is the opposite. We're seeing actually more people with osteoporosis, more people with fractures. And so something is going on here, and let's try to find this out. Now, I wanted to kind of talk about and discuss this regimen that people are doing now. So if you are on the bisphosphonate, this is something that you might have to be concerned about. Now, one of the things about bisphosphonates, and this is what they tell you all the time, is that you might get a heartburn. And in the beginning, it was a very, very severe heartburn where you have a lot of stomach inflammation. And they always told you, you have to sit up for a half an hour before you take the medication to try to relieve this heartburn. Now, if you think about this for a moment, you have to think, wow, you have to sit up for half an hour. There are a lot of people actually who couldn't tolerate this when they did. A lot of people didn't have the severe inflammation. So what's going on in the stomach? So obviously the effects of the bone itself is causing this to happen. So people didn't quite understand the rationale, but they just said, well, you just have to sit up and that's all you have to do. Well, this is kind of, I think, a little fishy there when people are starting to have this. Now, let me back up one moment and kind of describe for people, you know, what is this class of medications? Well, bisphosphonates is a type of medication that actually works on a certain cell called osteoclast. Now, in our body, there are ways of making bone and ways of breaking bone. So there are cells called osteoblasts that actually build bone, and there are actually cells called osteoclasts that actually tear down bone. The idea of these medications in general is to actually activate to block the osteoclast, which means that the body is then told not to break down bone. So the idea is if you don't break down the bone itself, then you have more bone. And I think that can make some sense. If you're not breaking down bone, you'll have more bone. But the idea is that these type of medications are preventing, what happens is they are preventing the actual clearing out of the bone. And so what happens is that the osteoclasts, which are not working now, there is a buildup of old bone, and the bone is stuck there. There's no mechanism of getting rid of this old bone. So the bone is actually stuck there. So even though it's actually increasing the bone density, let's say, on a bone scan or a bone density scan, it's not really actually increasing the quality of the bone. So there's actually a suspicion of that the bone itself is not a good quality bone. So one thing you have to be aware of is that this medication doesn't necessarily increase the quality of the bone. And so what has happened also is that, and this is a big, big concern, is that this quality of bone is actually weakening, this medication is actually weakening other areas of the bone. And so what they're seeing now actually is an increased risk of fractures in other areas. So here you are, you're taking this medication. This medication is supposed to strengthen your bones and you're supposed to feel secure. But what's happening is that the bone that is actually increasing is not necessarily the best, but it's actually weakening other areas. So they're seeing actually an increased fractures in other parts of the femur, which they never have seen before. So there have been many reported cases where women are just kind of standing and all of a sudden they fracture a part of the femur, which should never happen. It should actually happen closer to the hip area. And so these fractures are being reported, and this is caused by this class of medication called bisphosphonates. The other concern about this is that it's also causing weakness of the jawbone. And so if you're having any type of dental procedures, there's risk for having more infections in this area of the bone. Also, if they're doing any type of, let's say, implants, anything that has to do with the actual jaw, the dentists are having problems with this type of bone. So it's actually weakening this part of the bone as well. And some other concerns are basically atrial fibrillation, which is an abnormal heart rhythm, and even heart disease. They're seeing more calcium floating in the bloodstream, so they're thinking that the medication is causing this. So, in conclusion, the medications that people are taking for osteoporosis to strengthen bones isn't as good as advertised. And what we need to do is we need to educate ourselves on how we can actually improve our bones without taking the medication. And that's really what the topic today is all about. How can we improve bone strength without taking these harmful medications, in my opinion? And so this has to kind of really kind of go back into why we have bone loss to begin with. And so this is going to focus around the idea of balance and about hormones. This is what we talked about on our very first show. The first show we talked about is about the loss of estrogen and progesterone. It is known and shown that these particular hormones in combination with DHEA, a little bit with testosterone, that these, and thyroid actually, that these hormones contribute to the osteoblast production. They actually contribute to the building of bone. So what we need to do is try to focus on how can we prevent bone loss, but how to build bone. And that's not what the medications are doing. The medications are actually just preventing the loss of bone, but not building the bone. So the two hormones particularly important for this project of building bone is estrogen and progesterone. And these hormones have to be looked at, and we have to analyze it. So if you're in the perimenopause, menopause time frame, these hormones have to be checked. And if they're deficient, we need to actually add this two hormones in, because they are actually building bone. So now after we come back from the break, we'll be talking about other hormones that we should be concerned about, and what you can do from at home, what you can do also from a food standpoint, and also through a nutritional standpoint, and how to improve the bone. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Health and wellness is about making lifestyle choices that make us feel good about ourselves. It's easier knowing what to do than it is doing it. Listen to The TAMS, Toward a Magnificent Self, Health and Wellness Show, with your host, Tammy Anastasia, M.A. Tammy will explore and uncover the answers to what gets in the way of our motivation. Through her expertise and occasional guest experts, Tammy will inspire and motivate you to make realistic lifestyle changes. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for joining us again. I might be having a little difficulty, so if you are hearing me break up, it might be our connection. So if that's the case, we might have to take a break. But just to let you know, there is a little slight connection problem that we're having. But hopefully you can hear us clearly. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. We're talking about osteoporosis, how to improve your bone health, and without medications. If you have any comments or questions, you can call us at 866-472-5792. Or you can email us at John Tang, J-O-H-N-T-A-N-G, at Rejuve, R-E-J-U-V-E, medical.com. Now, before I get into the hormones and what you can do about the hormones to build bone, I want to first talk about, you know, how do we get actually a diagnosis of osteoporosis or weak bones. There is a very widely accepted test that people can have. It's called the DEXA scan. And what that does is basically it is able to measure the bone density. Now, there are some other ways that some people have had their bone density measured. That's through ultrasound. But the most widely accepted form is getting a DEXA scan. This is something that anybody can get. Now, it is usually recommended that you get DEXA scans above the age of 50, or if you have any risk factors in your family or any medical conditions that may lead you to have weakened bones, or if you're on medications, let's say. So those things are definitely considered to get bone density scans sooner. I, however, do recommend people to get them even younger, and just to get a baseline to see where your bone densities are. Now, the way that they measure it usually is actually taking a measurement either from the spine at a certain level of your spine and usually your hip. Some other places might get three measurements, but two measurements is usually satisfactory. Now, when they do get the bone density tests, what they do is they compare your tests with a group of healthy 25 to 29-year-old females, and they usually compare you. So if you are a little bit off, you'll be in the minus category. So if you are off anywhere from 0 to 1.0, you're considered osteopenic. Osteopenic just means that there is some form of bone loss, but not as severe. When you get into what they consider 2.5 standard deviations from the norm, then that's considered osteoporosis. So actually, let me correct myself. So osteopenia is considered 1.0 to 2.4 negative, and above 2.5 deviations is considered osteoporosis. And so when you get that score, the doctors will usually tell you that your overall scores is such. Most doctors will say that either you're fine or you have a little bone loss, or we're very concerned you're at a high risk. Now, just to kind of give you a little more information, the number itself, basically one standard deviation and 2.5 standard deviations, each standard deviation is about 12% bone loss. Now, 12% bone loss usually tells us that there's actually a much higher risk of bone fracture. So usually at one standard deviation bone loss, you're at 4 to 5 times higher risk of fracture than the average healthy female. So obviously if you're 2.5, that's a much higher level of risk of fracture. Now, most doctors, when they tell you these numbers, they usually don't actually give you succinct numbers. They just say, oh, you have a little bone loss. Now, my impression is that any bone loss is actually considered not good. Now, because if you think about it, why would you want any bone loss? Any bone loss just puts you a little bit higher risk for bone fracture. So for me, even the numbers below negative one, like 0.3 or 0.7, let's say, is something to be concerned about. And it's something that I think we should be focused on trying to improve bone health. I don't like to, one, wait until you actually get into the 2.5 to actually do something. I think that is, you know, this is something that requires a lot of time to improve the bones. And so why would you want to wait until you actually get to that point? Now, the other thing I also think about is that you only have one set of bones. You're not born with any other set of bones. So you're stuck with those bones. So, and like I said, these bones can fracture and cause other problems. So you don't want to mess around with weak bones. So,
Dr. Chang, sorry to interrupt, but I'm really glad that you bring up that point and that we have to start early. I feel that after, you know, reading about this and preparing for this show today, it's so vital to our youth. And if the standards are being compared to 25 and 29-year-olds, then why are we waiting and why are we addressing this concern in our 50s and 60s? If these are being compared to 25 and 29-year-olds, we should be addressing this and looking into this and preventing this in our 30s.
Exactly. So, you know, and it's much harder to obviously treat this. And what tends to happen is that we ignore this, and then when we have the fracture, then we go, oh my gosh, I should have been doing something. And so by that time, it could be too late. Now the interesting thing also, and a lot of people don't know this, is that one thing that I always keep in the back of my mind is that the number itself, you always have to at least consider this, and that is that some people are born with just slightly less density to begin with. So the best thing is to be able to compare two different measurements and two different times of the same person. Because you may be, let's say, genetically just having less density than these comparison groups. So if it is negative 0.5, you know, it's best when you have this same comparison in some kind of timeline fashion. Now, in order to distinguish whether you're actually losing bone, there is another test. People don't know this, but there is another test. It's a urine test, and it's called the urine NTX. That's the urine NTX test. This is something that most labs are able to do, and it's actually usually a billable code, meaning that most insurances will pay for this. And what this urine test does is it actually measures a certain peptide that is actually found when the bone is being broken down. So if you don't know whether it's actually active breakdown or not, you do a urine NTX test, and this actually tells you, oh, wow, we're having active bone loss. Oh, wow, we should be really doing something about this. So this is something that can be done to find this out. So a number less than 35 usually signifies okay. A number above 35 means that there's active bone loss that we should be more vigilant and doing something about that. So one side note about that. Now, the other thing is, you know, like Alexander was saying, is that in general, you know, in our 50s, and this is, to me, just makes a lot of sense. And the idea is that as we age, and everyone ages, of course, you know, our hormones are declining, our whole body is being affected. And, you know, it is in our ideal situation to kind of shoot for hormones in the level that when we're younger. It just makes sense that when we're young, in our 25, right, 25 to 30, that our hormones are the highest. We feel usually the best or the healthiest. And so when those hormones decline through natural aging, all these things are going to kind of fall apart. And so whether it's our memory or whether it's our muscle tone or whether we're gaining weight, our energy levels, our sleep, all those things are actually affected by this common thread of these hormones. And this is something that when you do this hormone evaluation, you'll be able to see that there's connections. So, for instance, if your progesterone is low, for women, you're not going to be able to sleep. You're going to feel more depressed and feel more anxious. And, by the way, your bone's going to be weak. Okay, and if you're low in estrogen, for instance, your memory's not going to be sharp. You have lower energy levels, lower sex drive. Skin is going to be dry and wrinkled, let's say. And your bone's going to be weak. So, you know, these things have this common thread. So these hormones, in other words, affect every organ system. And so we need to check the hormone levels. So this is why we keep on kind of referring back to the hormones and checking on this. So for the hormone concept, these hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone for women and for men, DHEA, thyroid, all can affect your bone strength and do contribute to some degree about the ability to build bone. For women, it's going to be more progesterone and estrogen. For men, it's going to be mainly testosterone. Now, another thing that hormone-wise that can affect the bones is actually elevated cortisol. So what is elevated cortisol? Elevated cortisol is actually stress. So who doesn't get stressed? So stress is something that can affect you in so many, many ways. It also affects your bones. Okay, so elevated stress throughout your life, you're going to have weaker bones. And so this is something we also need to factor in and also treat if necessary. Other things that affects the bones not related to hormones are nutritional deficiencies, vitamin D, toxins, and acidity. So all these things are going to need to be addressed. And so when we come back, I'm going to be talking about things that you can do in terms of nutrition, supplements, what you should be avoiding, what you should be eating, things of that sort. So please stay tuned. It's a beautiful day.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections, featuring Dr. Adam Rubenstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness. It's a beautiful
day. You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang at resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N, Tang, at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang, alongside with Alexandra. Today, we're talking about osteoporosis and how to build your bone without medications. If you would like to comment, you can call us at 866-472-5792. Or you can email us your questions or comments at johntang, J-O-H-N-T-A-N-G, at rejuvemedical.com. That's R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. So one of the points I was making in the beginning in the first segment is that when we're actually trying to build bone, it's not about one single thing. This is a very important point that I want to stress over and over again. You know, bone is a very complicated organ. So it's a complicated organ, basically, and we need to actually think of it as such. And so when we're actually building bone, it's not about one medication, and it's not about one hormone per se, and it's not about one mineral called calcium either. So we really have to create a favorable environment for the bone to be built, and we have to create an environment so that the body doesn't break it down. Because the body will have a tendency to either build or break down depending on its needs. Now, I wanted to kind of comment on this whole notion about calcium because, you know, it is one of those most commonly taken supplements. So whenever people come in, if they're going to take something, they are usually going to be taking a multivitamin or a calcium supplement. I think this is pretty standard across the board. For women at least, and when you ask them why are you taking calcium, they say, "Well, I want to prevent osteoporosis," and that makes sense. Now, you know, today I was actually looking through the website on basically osteoporosis and what people are reading, and they're talking about calcium, and the recommended doses And this is what we're taught too, by the way, is that, you know, for someone who doesn't have any bone concerns, you take about 1,000 milligrams of calcium. And if you do have osteoporosis, let's say you take 1,500 milligrams of calcium. And, you know, no one ever distinguishes between what type of calcium. I don't think most people know. So I wanted to kind of go over this. Now, the idea about calcium, one, is such that calcium in general does not form bone. So calcium is just a mineral, an ion, and by itself, even though bone is made up of calcium, and calcium is a very important ingredient in bone, calcium by itself does not make bone, because bone is a matrix. A matrix basically means it's a combination of many different materials. So that's one thing. The second thing is that most people think that if they take, let's say, calcium as in Tums, that that this is enough. And there's a whole notion about, you know, there's no difference between the different types of calcium. The answer to this is not true. So there are many different forms of calcium, and there are calciums that actually float in our blood, and there are actually calcium that the body actually uses as bone. If you take usually the normal types of calcium, such as Tums or the calcium oyster shells, this is the most commonly type of calcium that people take. This does not form bone. For one, it's not really absorbed. And the calcium that kind of gets into the body, if you take a lot of it, ends up going into the bloodstream. And let me just caution you about this, because if you take too much, and 1,500 milligrams I think will qualify as this, is that this form of calcium ends up not really getting to the bone at all. And in fact, it actually ends up getting to your blood, into your blood vessels, causing what we call calcifications. Calcifications in the blood vessels is basically hardening of the arteries. Hardening of the arteries, as you know, it causes blockages, eventually causes heart disease. So this is not the calcium that we want to take. Now, another thing also about calcium carbonate is that when you take calcium carbonate, and when it's actually mixed with your own acid, or your own hydrochloride acid, it forms a compound called calcium chloride as a result. This calcium chloride actually can be very irritating to the stomach. So people can get nausea and bloatiness, and the stomach doesn't feel good. So this causes actually the irritation. So what a lot of people do is they, you know, they say, oh, I just feel a little irritated, but I'm getting my calcium, so I'm okay. But the other thing is people oftentimes will take Tums as well to neutralize acid, because they have reflux. And so they're saying, oh, wow, you know, I'm taking two Tums, I'm neutralizing my acid, and I'm getting my calcium at the same time. Wow, it's killing two birds with one stone. And in fact, it's not really doing any of those two. It's actually making the heartburn actually worse, and you're not getting the calcium, and the calcium you're getting is actually going to the arteries and hardening the arteries. So I don't recommend this. Now, the other thing about this heartburn, by the way, is the fact that when you have heartburn, this is oftentimes a signal that there's probably some food allergy or some bacteria, and so that should be checked out as well, because what we're doing is the exact opposite. So you're not really helping yourself with the heartburn, you're just making your bones worse. Now, Tums, the other thing about Tums and calcium carbonate in general is the fact that it can cause some other syndrome, and this is kind of a concerning syndrome, and it's called milk alkali syndrome. And the idea, basically, not to make things too complicated, is that it's not a very good thing to have. It causes a metabolic alkalosis, which is basically a metabolic condition in your blood, which is not healthy for you, and it causes actually release of calcium from your bone to try to neutralize it. So you're getting actually hypercalcemia, which is high calcium levels. It's not happening with your bones, and it can lead to kidney failure. And so there have been reports that there have been more instances of this syndrome, which normally doesn't happen, and people are actually coming in with the syndrome because they're taking Tums either to neutralize their stomach acid or to try to build bones. So what I would suggest for people to consider is another form of calcium. And this form of calcium is called calcium anhydrous or calcium aspartate or calcium hydroxyapatite. These forms of calciums are actually forms of calcium that can only be utilized by the body to build bone. And so they have less chance to be floating around in the bloodstream, and it has more of a chance to actually go into the bone where you actually want it to go. So I think that's a very important point. The other thing also about calcium is that you're going to need vitamin D, and vitamin D is essential for calcium absorption through the gut. And so I would say most people are very low in vitamin D. What we've found here in our clinic is about, I would say 90% of people when we check them are actually either deficient, insufficient, or suboptimal. And so the vitamin D can be taken, and what I would recommend for people to take is about 5,000 international units or more if needed, depending on the blood test, to not only help with other things, but to also improve the calcium absorption through the intestinal tract.
Now, so Dr. Tang, just to kind of sum up everything for our listeners, because this is a lot of information. So the idea of, the bone is almost like, it's like skin, in the idea that, you know, we have skin and our skin sloughs off and we have new skin. So the idea to maintaining healthy and the, like you pointed out, quality, you know, the bone should, we should have quality bone density is doing all these other healthy, looking into our hormones, eating better and so forth is, something we need to start doing as early as our 30s and 40s. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think the diet part and the strength exercise part, which we'll talk about, should be done all the time. So this should be encouraged in our 20s. And so as we get older, we may need a little supplements here and there to help with that. But we definitely should be starting and thinking about this actually in our late 20s, for sure, in our 30s.
What I did want to clear up when I made the reference to the skin was that our bone does the same idea, right? It produces it wants to produce new bone, and old bone, gets removed and then new bone comes on. And so that's what we want to keep encouraging is new bone and the quality of that new bone to stay strong as we age.
That's absolutely correct. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that our bone is also what we call a plastic organ, meaning that it breaks down and builds, And what they found, for instance, if you go into space, that without the gravity and the gravity on our bones, basically, that our bones actually start to dwindle within the first few hours out in outer space. So it has the ability to break down and build. And the other thing is our cells are going to die. So a bone cell and bone matrix basically has a certain half-life. They have a certain period and they die. And so the body has to continue to build bone. And so, and it has to be able to clear out the old bone, so that kind of useless bone is kind of taken away. But it has to continuously build bone to be strong. And so, what we have to understand is that we need to provide this right environment to do so. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about the diet thing. So, when we come back, let's talk about certain things that I think are essential for healthy bone, and we're going to be talking about the pH, the acidity in your blood, and this has everything to do with diet and what we're doing to ourselves in general, and how this is harming our bones and our production of bones. So please stay tuned. It's a beautiful day.
opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at resuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for staying tuned. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang alongside with Alexander. We're talking about osteoporosis. And we're talking about now about the diets that people should be eating. I do find that it is very important, and this kind of goes with my idea of a healthy diet, and that is really a diet that is free from, let's say, processed foods, free from refined sugars, free from sodas and carbonated drinks. And the reason why I really want to focus on this is the idea of what we consider the pH of our blood. It is actually where, and anything with chemistry, anything that has fluids, there is actually a delicate balance between acid and base. So every living being has either there's in an acid environment or a basic environment. In our body, it is actually best, the body does the best when it's in more of an alkaline environment. So we perform better in an alkaline environment. These foods oftentimes are that a lot of people are eating are foods that increases the pH, meaning it causes more acidity. The acidity in our blood causes our body to try to neutralize this. And what happens is oftentimes the way to neutralize this is actually to break down bone. So in the bone, actually, there's something called phosphorus. And phosphorus is a part of this bone matrix. Well, in order to neutralize this acidity, our body actually breaks down the bone and sends the phosphorus to try to neutralize some of this acid. So we want to encourage our body to be more alkaline. Now, the foods that are more alkaline is a food that consists of more plant-based foods. So in my ideal diet, I would propose that at least half of our food intake should be plant-based. Now, plant-based could be, you know, all different types of vegetables and some fruits and so forth. It does also include organic foods, meats. We need protein, and that's something that is not really emphasized as much as I should. You need protein to build bone as well. Okay, so you can get this most through vegetable sources as well, but you need protein You need the essential vitamins and minerals, and you need an environment that has an alkaline environment. So, you know, things, sodas, carbonation, this actually has been shown to increase the acidity. So this is not good. So we have to take this. So this is another reason, besides blood sugar and weight gain and so forth, this is another reason why we should be avoiding sodas and carbonated drinks. Now,
and another reason for us to be looking at the quality of our bones sooner in our 30s and 40s because of those energy drinks. You know, those energy drinks are so popular. The Red Bulls, the Superstars, the Monsters, those are so popular in our age group. And you could even order a cocktail at a bar with one of those drinks put on them.
Right. So a large amount of caffeine is actually things that actually break down the bone. So those obviously have an enormous amount of caffeine to try to keep people up. So that's not good. Preservatives, you know, these are found in processed foods to try to, you know, preserve them. These preservatives help break down bone. They interfere with the bone production. And toxins such as heavy metals and so forth. So heavy metals, for instance, mercury in fish, drinking water that's contaminated with lead, for instance, these actually displace calcium from your bone. And so they get into the bones and therefore weaken your bones. So they are actually very toxic to our health of our bones. So this is also a very important concept. The other idea is also dairy. We talked about dairy in some other shows, but dairy is very acidifying to our blood. And through this acidification, it actually weakens bones. So a lot of women who are taking or drinking milk and eating cheese, thinking they're getting calcium to strengthen the bones, will be shocked by this information. And what they're doing is actually weakening their bones, actually, and alongside with food allergies and so forth. So they're actually weakening bones. So this is not a good way of getting the calcium. So
and that's for those also, people, excuse me, that's also including yogurt, because there are commercials out there that you know, represent that if you take, you know, eat their yogurt, you will get the calcium you need for bone strength and bone development.
Right. So that's a common misconception. The for people who are listening, what you should do if you want to have some form of milk is actually almond milk. Almond milk actually has higher amounts of calcium and does not interfere with this whole idea of acidification of the blood. So that is your alternative to the dairy and the cow's milk, for instance. So, you know, these are things definitely that I think are very important. Protein, vegetables, avoiding processed foods, avoiding toxins, preservatives, caffeine. So that's, I think, very, very essential idea. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention for all you out listening is that vitamin K2, another supplement. This is something that's crucial for bone formation. And so, you know, don't get on this thing where it's just calcium, like I said. It's, you know, this matrix. So vitamin K2, very, very important. Magnesium, vitamin D as well. There are some other elements such as strontium and boron, manganese. These are trace elements. All are essential for healthy bone formation as well. So definitely keeping that in mind. And one other thought before we have to go. I wanted to talk to the people who have what they call GERD or gastritis. You know, this is very common, I would say. A lot of people end up taking medications such as Zantac, such as Protonix and Prilosec and so forth. This is a very commonly prescribed medication. And because also it's generic now, the Prilosec, a lot of people are taking it over the counter. What this does actually is that it actually really reduces the acid formation. Now, our bones actually need the acid, because the calcium absorption is dependent actually upon a certain amount of acid. And if you're reducing this by taking the medication products like Protonix and Zantac and so forth, you're reducing the acidity to absorb calcium and reducing the ability to absorb magnesium as well. So there are warning signs for people who are taking these medications, particularly the PPI pump inhibitors, that you can have an increased risk of bone fractures. So what you should do for the people who have this, you should be trying to find out why do you have gastritis and heartburn and so forth. To me, I would say a half to two-thirds of those patients have food allergies, which we talked about in previous shows. The other proportion of people may have, say, the infection that needs to be looked at as well. So those two things need to be looked at, not simply just taking these medications, and particularly if you're taking it for a long time, you're at much higher risk for bone fractures. One final note, and I talked about this a little bit, and that is that stress. The idea is that stress is basically a dirty word. It causes so many things to happen. It also causes bone loss. We should be doing everything to try to eliminate the stress. So one thing that I encourage my patients to do is breathing. Breathing sounds kind of funny, sounds kind of ridiculous. So how can breathing help? But breathing for 5 minutes, three times a day, can actually relax you to a point where it reduces your cortisol, and that could help actually strengthen your bones. So people who do breathing exercise, a little Tai Chi, yoga, that's all great. That's something that we all should be considering if you're stressed. So that pretty much wraps it up. You know, next week, I don't know exactly what we're going to do next week. I'm trying to get somebody on the show for next week talking about one of the cosmetic devices we have. I'm still waiting for them to get back to me. So if they are available next week, we'll have them on the show to talk about, because we're kind of going to this month talk about some cosmetic devices that we have that's coming out, very, very exciting. So we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit for the month of April. So please stay tuned for next week. We'll let you know. We'll post it as soon as we know who's going to be on the show or what the topic is. But thank you again for listening. And remember, go out and live your life. And remember, don't let life leave you.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Health and Beauty for Life is heard live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful-